Hey, Peter Howard here on the Dynasty Crossroads Show. Don't let them know, keep it quiet, but I've infiltrated the nerd base. Come check out the show, I'll tell you how to beat them. Thanks.
Yeah! Chicken or crow, chicken or crow, crossing the... Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russell
Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Akash, I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 215, if I updated that correctly, of the Trade Addicts podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, the DAP network, if you will, and we always do. We are here. It is June. It is nothing exciting happening whatsoever, but I'm clapping to make it seem like things are exciting because, man, I got nothing. There is just nothing good going on. Jerry Jeudy tweaked his hamstring already. I quit. I got nothing. I try so hard with that man. But we are officially at the time in the year where anytime I see a football player's name trending on Twitter, my heart skips a beat. Because it's like, crap, who pulled their ACL now? Crap, who just got arrested? Who might, who's not playing this year? Who's doing it? It hasn't happened yet, which is great, except for, of course, Jerry Jeudy tweaking his hamstring for the 3 seconds he's been on the field already. Okay, but we're going to calm ourselves. We're going to center ourselves, ground ourselves in the moment and not dwell on the past. And we're going to say, hey, Akash, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm good.
Doing good.
As we get started, and before I ask you some very personal and probing questions, why don't you first let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
I'm Akash. You can find me on Twitter at YZR_fantasy. I mostly tweet about Dynasty, so if you're watching or listening to this pod, you're probably into Dynasty, and if you're interested in that, you can find me there. I'm mostly talking about stats or random stuff that pops into my head, so if you're interested, drop me a follow. If not, that's okay. I forgive you, but yeah, that's where you can find me.
And if you follow me on Twitter, I mostly tweet about my dog and Disney stuff. Yeah,
you have better content.
Hey, where else can they find you, Akash?
You can find me. I do a podcast with Luke Sawhook, Good Morning Fantasy. I do a podcast with Dynasty_IM, R2 Fantasy Football, and I do the DTC flagship pod with Russ here and also Izzy E, over on the Dynasty Trade Calculator platforms, and which is always fun. And also I'm in the Bulletproof Patrons Discord, which is which was hosted and founded by Drew Ozenchuk, DFB Encounter. So if you're interested, you can pop over there, drop a sub. It's really phenomenal content over there too. So for just like a few bucks a month, you can get access to takes from him, DFB Encounter, me, Dynasty_IM, Cooper_DFF, or CoopsFB is his new at, and a multitude of other guys. And so that's really good content. I'm in a lot of places. I just realized that.
See, exactly. Like you got to realize one of the only reasons to go on other people's podcasts, despite getting to talk to wonderful people like me and sometimes Rocky, you get to pimp out everything you do. Like that's why you're here. So just don't skip on that next time. Just like lead with that.
Very true. Very true.
Let's see that. Look at that. Still learning every day, something new. Now let's get into our questions. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
Since 2018, I think. Not a while, but I've enjoyed my time so far.
Did you start with Dynasty right away, or did it take you a little time to get in? A
couple of years. I started with redraft. I was just in a league with some of my classmates back in high school. And I started Dynasty in 2020. So,
what made you take the jump?
I was on Instagram and I was seeing this one content creator that I follow post about trying to get into a Dynasty league. And I really liked his content. So I'm like, yeah, I'll check it out. And I bought a Dynasty guide that he put out and I drafted my first team with it. I'll never forget this. He had Jalen Reagor ranked ahead of Justin Jefferson. So in this draft, I draft Jalen Reagor, and then around the turn, I fall bass backwards into Justin Jefferson. I'll never forget it because that's exactly what happened.
Most people don't get that lucky.
Yeah, I had a league. I had a similar league. I had 111, 112. I drafted Reagor at 11 and Jefferson at 12. So
that's great. I mean, hey, spending two late first for what's now worth a combination of like three firsts and a fourth rounder seems pretty good to me.
Yeah.
Silver lines the heck out of that cloud right there. What are some of the best and worst trades you've made while in Dynasty Fantasy Football?
Off the top of my head, you always remember your worst trades. You'll never forget them. But my worst trade last year, I took over my friend's orphan for like $1. And I was like, this Waddle guy sucks. He's like the second coming of John Ross. So I traded him for LaVisca Chenault in a third.
Well, I mean, you do love
Visca. I was just going to say, he loves Visca.
That's right. I don't think it panned out, we never closed the door on it too early, but I think
you can close the door on that one, Akash.
maybe. You never know. I'm holding out hope. But
just leave it just a little crack open. Just leave it there. There's no harm. No harm.
Yeah, my best trades, I think it was more of a series of trades, but I was doing a startup with my friend last offseason, and we just kept trading like all around the board, and he put me onto the 23rd class pretty early, and so this was like probably like February, March of last year, so the 21 class hadn't even been drafted yet, but we just stockpiled like 7 or 8 23 firsts, and now they're worth their weight in gold. So,
still have them all.
Still helped us. Yeah. I'm not trading away. That's my iron bank. I'm holding strong. Our team is stacked too. Like we have some really good, really good players.
I was just gonna ask. So you planning on making all 7 or 8 of those picks, or are you gonna trade them eventually?
I'll eventually trade out. Okay. Once the value starts peaking, I start trading for players. Honestly, I think the value's gotten close to its peak.
I kind of think so at this point.
It will increase, but it could be a marginal increase. And I think you trade for some points right now, and then like still have the 23rd first not be valued that much higher. Like if you trade a first right now for say Stephon Diggs, which I think is pretty reasonable based on ADP, you could get a full season of top 5 production at wide receiver. Diggs is probably worth less than a random 23rd first next year, but that production that you get is super valuable.
Mm-hmm. Time is money.
Yeah.
Matters.
Yeah, that's something that I always find that it's something that I overlooked when I started playing Dynasty about how, in a year, this guy's going to be worth less on the market, but like he still holds value because the value he provides is in production, not age or market value. So. That's something that you learn with time. Lead to team old guy. So,
yeah, that's that guy. Yeah, people love to say, well, they're going to decrease in production. Meanwhile, they're going to give you like 325 points, but they decreased in value. So, they're not worth
it. So scary. I know.
It's really funny. It's more recently than I'd like to admit that
lose a round of startup ADP. Does that scare you, Rocky?
What was that?
In a year's time, Diggs might lose a full round of startup ADP. Does that scare you?
Terrified. Terrified.
It's a full round. That is scary. That's 12 yeah. whole picks.
12 picks. 12 whole ones.
Yeah, it's more recently than I'd like to admit that I really started to weigh scoring points into dynasty value. Like,
I know. I used to be
always hypothetical.
You've come way more towards my dark side here about
Ross used to look young and sexy, but now I feel like I'm mature. The sexiest roster is one that's scoring points.
Exactly.
There's been multiple times that score points and are also young, but
that's great.
Yes. It does look nice when you know that a majority of your lineup, not the majority, but you have some really good pieces in there where you have like three or four guys who are top five options at your position. You can get for not pennies on the dollar, but you can get pretty cheap just because they're old. So.
And Russ, there's been multiple times in this podcast, in not too distant past, right? I know I've heard you say, like, it's something's wrong when I'm the one who's valuing points more than everybody else.
No, you completely ruined me. I blame you. Ugh, winning. Who wants to do that?
It's all about the pretty rosters.
Ugh, yeah, exactly. Gross. Oh, so what is a guiding principle you take with you whether you are offering or evaluating trades?
Me? I'm always trying to pivot or like trade down. Sometimes I trade up, but most of the time I'm trading down, trying to like diversify my roster. And I always try to, like, when I'm targeting a player, be like, okay, who can I pivot down from to get an extra asset? Because if I like these two players similarly, but their market value is off, it's like, what small plus can I add to my side just to hedge my bets, so to speak, so that if maybe I'm wrong about these players being close, I still have an opportunity to close the gap in value that I might have lost with the first two players with the third asset that I got. Like trading a player for another player in a second. It's like, even if that doesn't pan out, the player versus player, you still have the second, which not like a 30 to 40% chance of hitting, but it's better than zero if you didn't get that extra.
Is it specific positions or specific players you find yourself doing that with? Or is that just kind of like, oh, well, I like my team and it's strong, but if I can stay in a tier, I might as well just go do it.
Yeah, I feel like most of the time it's just easier to trade within the same position. So if like I'm looking for a wide receiver and trading a wide receiver, like it makes more sense. But I don't think you should limit yourself to that. Like idealistically, you should be like, okay, I can trade this quarterback for this running back. And if it's good value, I should take it because, you know, I can always figure out quarterback later. It's no guarantee, but you'll make it work. We're trade addicts. We make a ton of trades. I'm sure we'll be able to figure it out somehow.
Exactly.
Yeah, another way Rocky has completely ruined me. Any team I sit there and I'm like, oh, I have Kyler Murray on that team. Wonder what I could get to trade him down. Yes. And go.
I know. I did that same thing. I took over this orphan that had Kyler and Herbert. And I'm like,
oh,
I'm going to go trade for Lamar.
Sexy, and I couldn't hold on to both of them.
I traded Herbert for Lamar plus.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Forward. Trade down for the plus all the time.
Yeah, it's a sweet deal. I mean, it just happened like a month ago, but I'm feeling good about it where I traded Herbert, Sutton, Josh Jacobs for Lamar, the 106, which became Garrett Wilson, and a 23 first.
Oh, that's nice.
That's.
And I love Sutton too, but that side you got is really nice.
I really like Garrett Wilson, so I'm there for it. We didn't make enough trades this week. Like, I want to just like pause the show and offer trades now. Like, that we're talking about this. Where do I have good quarterbacks, and where can I just get worse? Yeah.
Just pivot down to Kirk Cousins everywhere, Russ.
I made a trade this morning that I did not expect to go through, and I felt like it was good for me. But then some news came out, and some people in the chat were saying that the other side won. I traded Aaron Rodgers and T. Higgins. For Deshaun Watson and Mike Evans.
That's rough.
Now you don't like it?
I mean,
I probably like it more than Russ, but I'm way more worried about Deshaun than I was like 2-3 weeks ago.
Everything I made never go near Deshaun Watson. And did I hear correctly that you traded away T. Higgins?
He did.
I know, I did. So. I mean, I still got Jefferson and Debo, so.
I don't care about your team. You traded away T. Higgins.
I did.
He loves him some T.
I love T. Higgins, too. Yeah, I really do, but. Honestly feel like that was a good trade for me because
What was hilarious? What was it like last week, 2 weeks ago, where Rocky just kept trying to get me to trade him T. Higgins for the pure purpose of coming on this show and screaming Russ hates T. Higgins.
Yes, I wanted to do that so bad.
Oh my God. I remember when you did that outhouse challenge and you were forced to trade away Higgins Waddle one time just because Twitter made you do it.
I lost so many Waddle shares.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So right now, in a Dyko's ADP, which he scrapes from sleeper startup drafts, so it's what I feel is the purest form of ADP. Deshaun Watson goes 205 in Superflex startups, and T. Higgins goes 309.
Yeah, I feel better about it if Watson doesn't get the whole year.
What?
I mean, it shouldn't really matter in Dynasty for a 20-something-year-old quarterback, but I would feel a little better. I'm worried now Watson's getting the whole year again.
It definitely stings if he gets suspended for a whole year.
Yeah.
But I'll find a way to live because when he returns, he'll produce, you know?
Yep. I was scooping him up in places last year for that very reason. And
yeah.
I may be waiting 2 years from when I got him, but it's eventually going to come back.
How far do you guys think the difference between Kirk Cousins and Matt Stafford is?
How big? I don't think it should be that big. Based on their ADP, it is big, but it really shouldn't be based on production.
In production or ADP?
Just value.
ADP is like a value. Grand Canyon, but it really shouldn't be.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty sizable value gap. Stafford's been pumped up this year.
Because you said, go get Kirk Cousins. I'm like, I know there's a league I have Kirk Cousins. And then I realized it was TA8.
Yeah, it used to be closer, and then last year happened, and he did pretty well with the Rams and won the Super Bowl, and now he is QB12, and Kirk Cousins is QB20 in May ADP.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So last year, Stafford was QB11 in points per game, I believe, off the top of my head. I'm looking it up right now, just for you guys. Don't like me. But Stafford, okay, so I have it right here. Stafford had 21.8 points per game, and Kirk Cousins had 20.9 points per game, which rank 11th and 12th. So they're back-to-back in points per game. But in ADP, Matthew Stafford goes in the third round, and Kirk Cousins goes in, still scrolling, the sixth round. Kind of wacky. They're both similar age, right? Like 32 versus 33 or something off the top of my head.
People hate Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
So you should trade me Matt Stafford for Kirk Cousins plus a small amount, since you know personally that they're just very close to each other.
Who,
yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
For gosh.
You.
I don't know. Baby. Russ, come on. Should we change that roster? We're getting
where am I trading you this?
Trade Addicts 8.
Okay, send me an offer.
Yeah, let's see one go down right now. On air.
His team is so much better than mine. It's really bad idea.
You got roster very spare, Rocky. Let's make it happen.
Okay, so that does weirdly, in a strange way, end our little interviewee thing. So moving on, would you like to do, Akash, I'm going to let you choose. Do you want to do the Trade Addicts trades or the listener questions first?
Let me choose. That's so sweet.
I got you, boo.
Let's listen to some trades.
All right. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team super flex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1. There are no TA1 trades.
How much for return?
How
much? 0.05. Yeah, per yard. Oh. So like 1 point for 20 yards.
I don't
return yards.
I have no idea how much it helps.
Not that much. It's just something.
Anything to pump those Deontay Hardy shares.
Exactly.
He's the example. Like, it's just the easy one to go to. It's like every once in a while you get that one little guy that you can throw in a flex spot if you have to. It was just something fun that I didn't play in a league with, so I decided to put it in. But of course, it was after TA1 already started their draft. So then I couldn't put it into there afterwards. Yeah. And now it's like a stinging reminder of my screw up that one league is different.
And you could say like in 2025 we'll implement this. So get ready. It's not going to change any values now, but
it shouldn't change any values then.
I have a league where I gave it a run that I did 0.1 per return yard, and Deontay Hart was a wide receiver too.
Yeah, awesome. You overshot it there a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, the first trade we have, Trade Addicts 3, where Damian Harris, Keenan Allen, and Travis Kelce were traded for Nick Chubb, J.K. Dobbins, and a 24 second. This was weirdly one of two trades, including Nick Chubb, that happened literally within 5 minutes of each other.
Yeah. Russell's like, already got hurt or something.
I got freaked out, and I go into the Cool Kids Club. I'm like, did I miss something with Nick Chubb? Did something just happen? And both of them are just like, no, that was just coincidence. I'm just like, that's a really weird coincidence. But yeah. Akash, how do you feel about that one? Which side do you like?
It's a pretty heavy tight end premium. It's a tough one. I'm trying to visualize it in my head. Threw a lot at me. I think I'm going to take the Kelce side there. You know, like a league with crazy tight end premium.
Yeah, I think I'm with the cut. I think it's super close. I think it's a pretty fair trade. I think our 2-time champion Joe getting the Chubb and Dobbins side. I think he was trying to
He traded away Kelce.
For some other moves he's made, I think he's trying to get a little, I mean, not that Chubb is young, but Dobbins is a little younger. I think he's been trying to kind of move some of his older assets and still compete.
Makes sense.
Which this makes a lot of sense. Yeah, this trade makes a lot of sense for what he's been doing. But I do think Kelce, I think, is going to go nuts again this year with Tyreek gone.
He'll be really good until he isn't.
Exactly.
I'll love him until he isn't.
And I think Keenan's got one more big year left in him, I think, a wide receiver one season. And Harris is whatever. But I think it's super close. I think, if one of you says the Chubb Dobbins side, I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah.
I will. I think it's Trip Kelce and Keenan. Honestly, like, what is Nick Chubb? Like,
perennially mid.
Yeah.
But just like, overvalued.
I wish being uber talented mattered in fantasy because he would score more points more consistently.
But he doesn't catch passes though.
Yeah,
and he could. It's just his team doesn't want him to, and that's what hurts, and it sucks. But it's and the fact that his value is in the tank because of age and because of everything else going on with the Browns. And I love Dobbins. I'm starting to buy in. I was always worried. I've been getting worried and more worried and more worried that we haven't seen the workout videos or anything.
Oh, but now we destroyed his trainer.
That was last year's clip.
Was it?
Oh, was it?
Damn. All right. Well, I don't feel good anymore. But like hearing, like I've been listening clearly to the DLF flagship pod, and just everyone on that show loves J.K. Dobbins. And like, I think it's starting to seep into my brain. Like, stop worrying. Dobbins is awesome. Just go with it. And so I love Dobbins, but I don't necessarily want Nick Chubb on my team. 24 second, okay.
The funny thing is, I kind of see J.K. Dobbins as like a Walmart Nick Chubb in that doesn't really catch passes. He catches more than Chubb, but he's efficient, but it doesn't really help you that much because it's just rushing yards.
Yeah, but
doesn't get much receiving work.
And it sucks because that's in his skill set, but it's just both not what's going to happen there in Baltimore. Yeah,
right. Exactly. Baltimore's pretty sure wasn't bad, but
on a bigger, better pace than Cleveland does.
What?
Baltimore running backs score touchdowns last year, not included for Baltimore because they didn't actually have a running back. But like before that, Mark Ingram had like 16 touchdowns by himself, and Dobbins still found a way to have 4 or 5, and not to mention Gus Edwards, like. Yeah, and that's been going back years.
Ingram's not just that year. Was 2019. He had 11 rushing, 5 receiving.
So, like, running backs in Baltimore Yeah, they don't catch passes, but they score rushing touchdowns. Yeah. So I much prefer Dobbins, especially over Chubb at this point.
And Dobbins himself had 9 that year.
Was it 9?
I just looked it up, yeah.
So, I love Dobbins, but to me, man, Kelsey and Keenan, they're just so good. And there's no reason that either of them will slow down anytime soon. I'm sure everyone's afraid of their age, but Kelsey has the nickname and the body of a Greek god, and Keenan Allen doesn't need to worry about speed.
Yeah.
To me, it's pretty easy, Keenan and Kelsey. The next one we have, Trade Addicts 4. Last week, did we talk about my Cam Akers for Elijah Moore trade? I can't remember. I made it on Tuesday before we started recording, but I don't remember if we talked about it.
I think we did, but I don't remember 100% either. We could talk about it with Akash anyway, since we don't have a lot of trades.
I think I'm going to take... That's tough. I do like Elijah, and I get the concern with Akers, but his ceiling's higher. And I honestly think that's what's going to sell me, because if you can have a workhorse in what we expect to be a good offense, that's great. That's going to give you like top 5 at best, and then you'll probably be top 12 with the opportunity. I don't really care that he was inefficient in the playoffs, 6 months off Achilles, not because of like an excuse, but like just because efficiency doesn't matter to get the workload. And maybe, they get the workload in the playoffs. So maybe if he's not efficient, it comes down a little bit, but honestly, not really worried about efficiency that we saw in like 3 games coming off of his Achilles injury. I feel like some people overblow it. Some people don't care enough about it. I'm trying to stay moderate and say, yeah, it can be a small concern, but I still expect him to be a workhorse.
Yeah, I think we talked about that, because I feel like everything he said just like brought back some deja vu. This is a team, TA4, where my team is just atrocious, and I still have my 23 first. We absolutely talked about this, because these exact words have come out of my mouth. And I didn't want the running back points. I figured, give me some young wide receivers, and hopefully they mature, so next year in 23, I can draft 3 or 4 running backs, because I have, I think, 3 or 4 firsts. And that'll be my push to go forward. Because what's funny is,
your rebuild, Akers does, I think, have a lower floor. Like, if he doesn't show anything this year, or if he gets hurt again,
yeah, he's like, done.
Your value's kind of cooked.
I just didn't want the points, because I do believe that he will be good. I mean, I think he has the floor of being good. You know, I'm not going to predict injury, because I can't do that. So I'm not going to say anything about being hurt. If he's on the field, he will do well. How well he will do, that's up in the air. But I think he is good enough, and that team is good enough, that he will score a decent amount of fantasy points if he's on the field. And honestly, I just didn't want the fantasy points.
Do you not think Elijah Moore is going to score a decent amount of fantasy points?
Not as much as if Akers does really well.
Yeah, ceiling's probably higher on Akers, yeah.
Yeah,
that's the way I honestly, I think that's a trade that's better suited for September. Just because
I ain't got that people
like, and that's a like total cop out answer, but
people get ready to do it again, because with the same person, a couple of hours later, post midnight, because you know apparently there's a time difference between here and Ireland, and someone likes to fall asleep before 2-3 in the morning, so I woke up in the morning to an accepted trade of Travis Etienne for Drake London. Because for some reason, I had a rebuilding team with Akers and Etienne on it. And again, I don't know how that happened. But I sent the entire league, probably except for Rocky, because his team's probably worse than mine, that I sent these running backs for either firsts or young wide receivers. And yeah, this one guy took both of my running backs and gave me young wide receivers. So what do you think about Etienne for Drake London?
I like London. I like Etienne. I think I'm going to go Etienne there. Again, with the ceiling of having a young running back who has top 5 capability.
That one's funny for me, because those are like 2 of the guys I like way less than most of the Dynasty community.
Darby?
ETN and London. Yeah. Oh. Both guys in the trade. I would probably go with London, though, just because I'm essentially looking at it like it's like Travis Etienne for like the 3.
Yeah.
That is way too high for Travis Etienne for me. So
in another class, maybe, but I think I'd take Etienne over any non-Breece Hall.
I think there's a very good chance with a healthy Etienne, if we're to believe those, I don't know if it was an article or report or just a tweet that's like they're going to use him in the slot as a wide receiver a lot. He's the next Debo kind of thing. Like, if that's true, he can do really, really well because he's a very athletic, very talented person. But man, foot injury, like broken foot scare the crap out of me for like a year or two. Like, I'm absolutely fine getting out on him now. And if I feel like it later, paying the wait and see tax.
Yeah.
But again, who has the chance of being that guy next to Kyle Pitts in Atlanta and no one else, yeah, I'll take that risk.
And for Etienne, he doesn't even have to line up in the slot. I think either way, he's going to get really good receiving work. That's what his profile is from college. And
unfortunately, we've seen way too many examples in the past few years where that doesn't matter.
And I think he's fine. I don't see him ever being really good.
It doesn't matter.
Speaking of Drake London's teammate, Kyle Pitts, Trade Addicts 5, Kyle Pitts, and for some reason, Tre'Quan Smith for Breece Hall, John Mechie, Brevin Jordan, and a 23 first.
Okay, so just Breece in the first.
So here's the funny part.
Unless you want to stack the Texans offense.
This is my trade, and I got Kyle Pitts. The original offer was Breece in a first for Pitts. And
you fell for the salami.
He sends this back, and I almost like sent it back without Tre'Quan Smith coming back to me. But like, and the worst part of this entire thing was I was like, but I don't want to give up Brevin Jordan.
He loves Brevin. That's another one of his guys.
I'm like, really? Like, I get that I probably have like 5 or 6 shares, but you're gonna make me give one up? I don't want to do that. And of course, I did it anyway because I wasn't going to be dumb about it. But
right, that's the
I can't give up Brevin Jordan to get Kyle Pitts. Just a deal breaker.
All right. So, what do you think? Pitts, Tre'Quan Smith, Breece Hall, John Mechie, Brevin Jordan, 23 first from a team that I believe made the playoffs last year.
So yeah, 23 first and Breece for Pitts. I'll take Pitts. And that's again the high tight end premium. I like Breece and I like 23 picks, you know, who doesn't, but I'll take Pitts there.
Yeah, I'm with the clash. I don't think I need to really go into detail on this one. The Texans don't do much for me there. And I do like Breece, but I mean, I could see him being a low end RB1
committee behind Michael Carter.
Exactly. But no, I mean, there's a lot going on with the Jets. Zach Wilson's not very good, and they got a lot of receiving options there, so who knows how much he'll be involved in the passing game. But, I'll definitely take Kyle. Kyle Pitts is just, you know, his value is ridiculous. And when he goes for, like, 1,000 and, like, 6 touchdowns this year, it's going to be even more ridiculous.
Yeah, hell yeah. 1,207 touchdowns.
Yeah, something like he had 1,001, and that's the only reason his value is not even higher than it is now.
Right.
You know, I have the unfortunate situation
to compare him to other
John Bosch, Matt Price, and Bob Gilchrist a lot. So I don't have a reasonable idea of what Kyle Pitts' value is. Probably so, like 18 of them. Like, you're not giving me 2 full first round draft classes, then no, I'm not trading away Kyle Pitts. I felt okay. Like, to me, Breece and a first is good value. And I was just like, and it's funny that I was shocked that it got accepted.
Yeah, that is good value. I like it. It's 3 first seems about right for Kyle Pitts. And so, free to get that. It's like, right, and I was going to say, Kyle Pitts has no rookie tight end comps, like statistically, because he was just in the league of his own as a rookie tight end. But if you compare him to wide receivers, there's some really good names on there. I don't have the list, but so sorry, but I don't have the list. Receivers that have 1,000 yards as rookies are probably good.
Yes.
Probably very good.
Hashtag analysis. The last trade we have is TA8, where Derrick Henry, Jamison Crowder, and for some reason, Jalen Weidermeyer for Nick Chubb.
Henry.
Yeah, like...
That's easy, what?
I get that Jamison Crowder and Jalen Weidermeyer are not...
Bills fan, maybe?
Fair. I mean, it was him, so no, yeah, but...
No.
But like, I get that they don't really bring much to the table in general, but the fact that you somehow got Henry plus for Chubb is just...
Hey, man, Crowder might have like 12 points per game this year, you know?
Yeah, I don't think Crowder's nothing in that offer, actually.
He's nothing in value, but...
Right, but in production. And this team that I got him on is all production. We were talking about it, I think it was before the show or at the beginning, but...
Oh, also during when I was talking about trying to give you Cousins for Stafford, and I said your team's a lot better than mine.
Yeah, I mean, this super team old guy, which is partially just how it was built, and then partially the outhouse challenge that I did a few months ago. But yeah, it's got Saquon, it's got Henry now, it's got Adams, Diggs, Thielen, Thomas, Gronk, all these old point scoring guys.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a couple younger. I have a DK and Terry McLaurin on there too. There's a couple younger guys, but
who are your quarterbacks?
Tannehill and Stafford, and Trubisky's my three.
Need to get some rushes in there, bro.
Yeah, but yeah, so I kind of leaned into team all guy. I don't think, like I said, Jamison Crowder is nothing. And I can explain the Weidermeyer thing is he sent it as Crowder and Henry for Chubb, and I didn't accept. And I tried to get Bryan Edwards thrown in there because I'm still a I know he's nothing, but yeah,
he's a salami.
I know he's probably not going to do anything, but I'm still a stand from his rookie year. And he wouldn't do that, and he countered with Jalen Weidermeyer instead of Bryan Edwards. So I was like, okay, if you're going to throw another guy in there, I'll just take him. I don't care. So
Which do you guys think is worse? Someone who won't accept a deal unless, like, an absolute nothing player but an extra player is added on, or someone who lets that be done to them?
For the record, I would have accepted the deal without Weidermeyer or Edwards, but I was just
trying. I know that's the tactic. that's why you're salamiing. You're like, okay, throw this extra piece on, throw this extra piece on. Like really small things. It's like, well, if you're gonna pay $100 for it, why not pay 101 cents?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But then the counter, which I saw someone say, is that, well, if you're gonna pay $100 for it, why not pay 999.99. So let's compromise and call it 100.
Yeah, if you're willing to accept $100, take one penny less. No, I don't want to. All right, that was our last TA trade. So we're going to move on to listener questions. Cool. After I hit the delete key. There you go. Okay, our first question is from @DynastyBeachBoy. As a commissioner, have you ever come up with rules that made people trade? Like you at least have to make one trade and be in the top six to make the playoffs, or have whoever made the most trades be a tiebreaker, or is that just silly nonsense? On three. One, two, three. Silly nonsense.
Nonsense, yeah.
You just trade a bunch of fourth rounders and be like, okay, give me...
Exactly. Oh, crap. What's going on? All right, I'll trade you my fourth for your fourth. Let's go. The unfortunate answer is you can't. You can't force trades.
The way you force trades is by finding 12 people who are all trade addicts, inviting them to one league, and calling it the Trade Addicts League.
And then doing it another 9 times after that.
Exactly.
Do either of you want to try and answer this before I start spouting the same thing I always answer this question with? No?
No.
Okay. There's no way. You can't force any sort of trading. It never works. I've tried a few, I've suggested a few, I've seen a few, and it always just leads to, like, we were joking before, I'll give you my fourth for your fourth, just so we meet that criteria. It's going to create resentment and crap moves for no reason whatsoever. The only way you can do it is by getting the people that want to do it. Or you could be an idiot like I am and do something like the outhouse challenge, you know, let Twitter decide if you're accepting a trade, and maybe make a couple of trades that are not in your favor, so people start seeing that trades are happening and, oh, look, maybe I can get a good trade going on. If you're willing to sacrifice a little bit of your team for the hopeful good of the league. If it's a money league, don't do that. But if it's like, I mean, if it's your home league, that's like $25, why not? You know, just to see if that makes the league better, it's worth a shot.
Yeah. I got this startup that's been kind of dead, but I've been making a couple of trades. So a little bit of activity. It's not startup, it's a rookie draft. Rookie draft's been going on for like a couple of weeks. So some people aren't online. It's annoying, but it's whatever. But then I traded Lamb for McCaffrey plus. Actually, I traded Lamb and J Rob for McCaffrey and a 24 first.
I like that. I even kind of like that. And yeah. I don't really like McCaffrey.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. You made me side with a running back. I don't like you.
Please stay healthy, white boy.
The only thing I'll add on the question is just something else we always say is if you're in a league where you feel like you need rules to make people trade, then find a different league.
Find a different league. Oh, he has. Yeah, he's one of the good things about being joining into the Cool Kids Club, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, is you can find plenty of active leagues that way.
Yes.
That is exactly what happened. You know, Kenny was DMing me for a while and then ended up, you know, joining Patreon, jumped into the Cool Kids Club. He's like, and then he DMs me. I'm like, why are you asking me? You are now in a chat with a whole lot of people. Go ask if anyone has any openings. And then by the end of the day, he joined three new leagues.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. You love to see it, really.
The next question, at CD Carter 42069. Well, First of all, bless all of you for having the dedication to keeping these Denny Carter parody accounts going.
Really?
Like years they've been around and they are still going strong.
I love the 42069 too.
Yeah.
Nice. I think an interesting conversation could be 2 to 3 wide receivers ranked out of the top 24 that could move into the top 12 after this season.
That is.
So I'm going to pull up the wide receiver ranks.
Young
scroll
guys.
Down.
I have two real obvious ones to me.
Is it Gabe Davis?
Not like the ones that I would expect, but ones that like are probably most likely just based on projected production and age.
Is it Jerry Jeudy? Because he got his hamstring tweak out of the way now so he could play the whole season.
He's 20 for a Dyko ADP. A Dyko has him there. Rashad Bateman, 26.
Actually, yeah, one of mine was
25. Elijah Moore, 29. And Amon-Ra, 35.
You think Amon-Ra is Cortland Sutton because I'm a Sutton over Jeudy guy. My only worry is he might be a little old to get into the wide receiver one range.
That's what I'm thinking. Unless he's cup, you're not going to see a 27-year-old go from wide receiver 32 to top 12. Like you got to be young to do it, or have like top 5 production.
And one of my other guys is a year younger, I think. Than Sutton, that I am really on this year is Hollywood Brown. I like Hollywood Brown a lot. I think he's going to be a wide receiver one. I think he's going to be Arizona's wide receiver one.
I'm him, bro. That's
yeah. And so I think he may be young enough that if he has like a wide receiver 7-8 type season, that he could be a wide receiver one next year.
I mean, I was Hollywood Stan before it was cool.
I'm
the OG Hollywood Stan. Actually, I'm not. That's Peter Howard.
Peter Howard.
Let me dream.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan coming in, and then I switched real quick.
It looked like
he was not just winning because he was fast. Like, no, okay, no, he's
all he
he's
does is earn targets. And
all he does is win.
Last year he was getting targets all over the place.
I know. He had more targets per game than Mark friggin' Andrews, tight end 1 points per game last year. Like, he's probably a good player, and you know, everyone loves Bateman. Everyone kind of pushed Hollywood down because of the Bateman pick, but Hollywood just continued to earn targets. I was on the Bateman side of that debate last year, and I guess I lost, but now I'm on the other side, so I'm winning it. It's just both sides, so I was coming up on top. And then Hollywood gets traded, and people don't care about the passing volume anymore. And it's like, yeah, okay, great. You know, a guy earns fantastic volume now with a –
and it was going to be a fast-paced offense with a better, slightly better quarterback anyway, I think.
Yeah, maybe. They're both good quarterbacks. They're both underrated quarterbacks because people are still subliminally like against rushing quarterbacks because they think rushing quarterbacks can't throw.
Not very subliminal.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble finding players that aren't rookies. Like
rookies is tough.
Marquise and Hollywood. Marquise and Olave were two of mine, but like I keep looking like Olave's at 29, Sky Moore at 36. Like if Sky Moore finishes as a top 24 wide receiver, I think he goes top 15 wide receiver dynasty wise.
Yeah, it's tough because just I think I would have to pull up DLS ADP and check this, but I can do that because I have DLS ADP. But I think that outside of being top like 16, like Waddle was, I don't think rookies are going to end up in the top 12 for ADP. I think you see more of like an Elijah Moore like rise where you're like, you go from in the 30s to maybe 18. In dynasty consensus, which is fine, but doesn't really fit the question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we are. I think we're in a situation where we're going to have like running backs that coming into this year, where I think we're going to have enough wide receivers age out a bit that you're going to have a decent amount of people pushed up. Like Cooper Kupp's going to be 29, 30 almost. Devontae Adams will be 30. Stephon Diggs will be 29.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, even though he's 12, wide receiver 12 in Superflex ADP, he'll be 29. And I think that's just going to push them out of the top 12, all of them, altogether. Yeah. And, I mean, is Deontay Johnson finally going to be a top 12 wide receiver? I mean, sorry, Rocky, probably not.
In ADP? No. People hate small players. Yeah, that's why
Marquise... That's part of the reason I love him, Russ.
I know, but
because he's not a top 12 ADP guy.
I know. It's so easy to love a guy when he scores top 12 points.
Yes.
5 years old and isn't valued top 12.
But starting at wide receiver 13, DJ Moore, Deontay Johnson, Drake London, Terry McLaurin, Michael Pittman, Chris Godwin, Treylon Burks, Keenan Allen, Garrett Wilson, Mike Evans, Jameson Williams, Amari Cooper. I feel like everyone but those rookies has zero chance of moving up. Like maybe Michael Pittman, if he does do what people want him to.
No, Pittman can move up. Moore can move up. Deontay can move up.
You don't think Godwin can move up? Godwin's a good season. If he recovers and plays.
Godwin's down because of the ACL and Brady. I think Brady, like if he leaves next year, will hurt Godwin's like perception.
That's true.
But I don't know. I've gone from.
I think if Godwin plays like 14 games, he could be like he could have a huge season.
Right, and it's just like looking at points per game. Like, even if Godwin doesn't like, offer you total points this year, like if he's not like top 12, he gets to be top 12 in points per game, and that'll help his value because at that point he will have had like three top 12 points per game seasons and four in the top 24. So,
Russ,
you can't refuse that kind of track record.
I look deeper down. I found the obvious guy outside the top 24 that as long as if Watson doesn't get suspended for the whole year, David Bell is clearly going to be a wide receiver one. So
clearly a wide receiver one.
Awesome.
All right. We're bringing this one back at noob engineer _. With how the TE position is missing top end fantasy output, shouldn't Kelsey be worth more? He is on the wrong side of 30, but I feel banking on. Quotes, not wanting to hold the bag could still cost 3 years of great production. Am I crazy to want to value him the same as I did 2 years ago? And where would you rank him compared to other TEs? Where would you take him in a startup? Just curious. Thanks.
He's a bit eager, like saying value him the same as 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years older. That's a bit out there. That's a bit too hot. That's a bit too aggressive. You know, saying that 3 years of production might be a bit aggressive, but I totally agree with him that the production that he offers is fantastic at a position where there is not a lot of fantastic production. And the fact that outside of Pitts at 21 years old and Andrews in prime age at 26, you know, it's just a lot of other old guys at the top of the position where it's Kelsey at, 32 and Waller at 30 and Kittle at 29 off the top of my head. So all three of those guys seem like values right now just because they're getting up in age, but I'm just still looking at the production they offer, which is significantly more than the replacement level tight ends below them.
And I trust Kelsey's production over those other two older guys as well. So I agree. He should be up there. I mean, in the DLF ADP, which is non-tight end premium, he's like in the middle of the fourth round. I would probably take him in the third round if I'm going for a win now strategy in a startup. I'd be willing to do that. I have no problem with that.
He is 33.4 in tight end premium sleeper drafts, which are Dyko scrapes. So third round seems about right. I think I've seen him there a couple times. Maybe right about where I was falling to the fourth. He is good value.
I'm doing one of the one QB mocks for DLFs, June ADP, and Kelsey went 301. If there's any premium whatsoever, Kelsey should belongs in the second round.
In one QB, yeah.
In one QB, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with Noob Engineer on this. Again, valuing him like you did 2 years ago when he was the clear walk away one is a little far, but I already said once that there's zero reason for him to slow down. There's zero reason to believe that he's going to fall off a cliff. I mean, okay, he's older than 30, but I just don't care is what it comes down to. I firmly believe, especially now with Tyreek gone, and like you even said it before, like especially this year, Kelsey's going to eat and convincingly. And if you can say 2 years of production, that's enough to be dynasty value for me, at least. Like, I'm not planning more than 2 years out. Heck, I'm normally not planning more than 2-3 weeks out.
I'm an old guy. Welcome to the club.
That's what I was just going to say. I love it. Russ is he's touting Kelsey. He's taking CMC in the trade.
That one still hurts me. I can't believe right now.
So but, Adam, you said has this thing called expected years remaining, and it's a bunch of math that goes into it. It's really smart. So tight end expected years remaining at 30 is 2.14, and at 32 is 1.5. So like you'd expect like a year and a half more production from Kelsey. Not to say that in the middle of next season he's going to fall off.
Exactly.
Exactly.
There's a
game nine, trade him.
Like there's a – it's like a hypothetical – chance that it's one more year. There's about half as much chance that it's two more years, and then every following year there's a lower and lower chance he lasts that long. But I think that you're looking at 1 to 2 years more production from Kelsey. You know, when he falls off, he'll fall off, but until then it's gonna be top 2-3 tight end production.
And we have FF Trader Joe in the chat saying defenses could potentially key on him more, make Juju, Meikle, and CEH beat you.
Well, I think defense have been trying to key on Kelsey for the last
what I was just gonna say.
Yeah, 2 years, and it hasn't really worked.
I know Tyreek was there, but they were still paying a lot of attention to Kelsey.
And I know Kelsey didn't do as well last year as he did the year before, but I think Juju and Sky will be good enough to make it so you can't just put the entire defense in the middle of the field like you would need to stop Kelsey. I heard
QB's pretty good too, so that should help.
Who?
Heard his QB is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. He's all right. I like that kid.
So, yeah, it was a few weeks into the season last year where I finally gave in and made Pitts my tight end one. And it wasn't for me personally. It was really more about talking and giving advice to people because it would be selfish, I don't think is the right word, but it would just be wrong for me to say, nope, Kelsey, tight end one, Kelsey, tight end one, when clearly Pitts is worth three Kelseys. But I in that case, we pull a Rocky at quarterback. Fine. Give me Kelsey in a first and a second, and then you can have Pitts. That's fine. And I'm going to score more points than you for the next 2 years, and then I'll be really sad when I don't have a tight end, and you
I'll
have...
I'll take Pitts there, honestly.
You what?
I'll take Pitts there.
I to me, like that's one of those trades that seem close and fair, in which case you shouldn't trade Pitts for it.
Yes. Clearly, Bob Bjorkqvist has taught you well.
I had to admit that. That's the worst. Like, I don't like the things I have to talk about on the show right now. Next question at FF Tommy B. It seems like the NFL doesn't care about COVID positive cases anymore and has moved from 3 to 4 week now with IR designations. What are you doing with IR spots this year?
Keeping them the same, I guess.
Like once the whole COVID thing started, like we used to have two IR spots. And I was just like, nope, we're having 10. Like, it was just like, this is ridiculous. There's no reason to have so few anymore. And then I just haven't changed it, and I'm probably not going to.
The NFL gets unlimited IR, so why shouldn't our dynasty teams?
I've run like 7 leagues. They all have unlimited IR, and they did.
That sounds amazing. I wish my leagues did that.
Honestly, that's, yeah. If the guy's hurt, I remember at first I was like, you could use the IR spots, but you can't pick up a player on the IR and move them to. I'm like, I'm not gonna pull.
Yeah, and see, that's what I've heard about, like, against the unlimited IR, and like, how many guys on waivers are worth picking up to put on IR anyway? Right. Like, yeah, who cares?
Waste of time. I'm gonna pick up Salvin Ahmed just because.
Yeah, so I can put him on my IR. Yeah, it's so I don't get to worry about it. Like, I don't care.
I find things to worry about, so we can.
Here's an idea. Here's an idea. Maybe you get 5 IR spots for people who aren't literally on NFL IR, but then you get unlimited for people who are on the NFL IR. So like, no, you'd have unlimited for your Dobbins, your ETNs last year, but if say Nick Chubb misses a game and he's out, you can't put him on IR and add someone.
My IRs are 4 people on NFL IR only.
If you had different statuses, like, you'd have to manually police that, I think. So
no, you can suspended is one of the options. No,
but you can have unlimited for, like, Akash was saying, unlimited. Yeah.
That is so not necessary.
Exactly. That we're not into that.
All right. The last question we have from some nobody named at Brian Har FF. I want each of you to pick one of Mahomes, Herbert, and Allen and argue why they are the dynasty QB1. Each of you take a different QB. All right, so guess.
I say Allen, though, right?
I can argue anything for no reason whatsoever. So you go first, Lepash.
My QB rankings are actually different because I would take Lamar and Kyler ahead of Herbert.
You... Good night.
What does it take for Justin Herbert to reach the production he had last year? It takes high volume and high efficiency, right? What does it take?
So being good like he is on
Lamar
a good offense,
and Kyler,
good weapons.
The production they have. It takes good passing. Doesn't take insane volume. It doesn't take insane efficiency. Just good passers, which they are, and rushing, which they are. And it's a lot easier to predict rushing volume year to year than it is to predict passing efficiency. And so if you want this more stable guy, the more stable guy is actually rushing, because it's a lot easier to say that Lamar and Kyler are going to be top 3 rushers, rushing quarterbacks in the NFL, than it is to say that Herbert's going to be a top 3 efficiency or top 3 in yards quarterback in the NFL, right?
No.
It sounds like
I have nothing to back that. I just wanted to argue.
Sounds like you have to argue why Herbert's the QB1 now, Russ.
I think I just did. All right. First of all, youngest out of this group. And yeah. I don't care that I'm arguing like 24 versus 26. I don't care. He's younger, right? And that matters way too much in the quarterback position for some people in Dynasty. And I get it. Mahomes is flashier than Herbert is. But talent-wise, would you say there's that big of a leap in between Mahomes and Herbert talent-wise?
Yeah.
No, again, you're wrong. And no, I have zero backing to that. I am just fighting for my argument.
Wrong. No, Mahomes... And I said this on Twitter, and people didn't like it because Tom Brady won 6 Super Bowls, but I said Mahomes is the greatest quarterback to ever play football. And it's right, because the start to his career has never been done before, and it'll never be done again.
Yeah, like Tom Brady, it's not the same. He is so darn good, but I don't think he has the arm talent of...
Pure talent, Mahomes is the best quarterback to ever play in the NFL.
But... I mean, what was it? Like after his sophomore year, he was just like, wait, you could read NFL defenses? Oh man, this is going to be fun now. It's just like, wait, what?
So,
like, of course, Tom Brady is one of the smartest quarterbacks to have played and probably one of the most accurate. But like out of pure no look throw behind the back, under the leg, you know, the ball magically popping out of the defenseman's helmet. Like, that's Mahomes. Like, that's just what he can do.
So Mahomes versus Herbert. Mahomes, since he became a starter 2018, has ranked first, fifth, first, and fourth in points per game, whereas Herbert has ranked seventh and third. Which tracker are you taking? The one one's average finish is fifth, and one's average finish is 2.7.
The one who went from seven to three and is going to keep getting better.
Next week is going to be a negative one. Tyreek Hill. Extrapolation to negative one.
Yes. He's going
to
be
QB zero. I don't have to believe what I'm saying. I'm still going to argue it.
Yeah. That does fit the question. You just pick something and argue. I love it.
Well, Rocky, who is your QB one out of these three guys?
Well, yeah, and the one guy we haven't been talking about is Josh Allen, who has been the QB one for the last 2 years. So there's part of your argument right there. He's also, you know, he took that monster leap from year two to year three. He's that cyborg that we've all wanted. That he's an amazing passer, and he's giving you, you know, whatever, 700 rushing yards a year and 6 to 9 touchdowns a year. I mean, well, what more can you ask for? And he's got good weapons. He's been the QB one the last 2 years.
Right, but Rocky, no one wants to hear about that because we all agree.
I know. I took the easy one. The but you right guys now, already argued the other two, so I have nothing else to say.
I'm not arguing against Josh Allen QB one. I got him QB one,
but I agree with what you said about Mahomes too. I mean, we saw Mahomes' floor last year pretty much, and it was like
and QB it was four. QB four,
in yeah.
Oh no, it's so scary. He's so good.
I wouldn't begrudge any of these three going 101 in a dynasty super flex startup.
The only reason I would say don't draft Lamar or Kyler 101 is you can get them at like 109.
You don't have to, yeah. But like, there's a chance one of these three, unless you're smart enough to fool John Bosch into an actual draft, and you might have to worry about Kyle Pitts going 101. These three guys will probably be the top 4 or 5 picks.
What are you saying, Rocky?
You'd really prefer them over one of these three?
Who?
Lamar,
Kyler? And Kyler.
No, it's Allen, Mahomes.
The only reason Allen, not to draft them at 101 is because you can get them later. That's what I'm saying. Like, in your mind, would you? All things being equal, and you had to draft one, and you couldn't trade, and would you actually take one of them over the other?
You have the 103, and Allen and Mahomes get taken 1 and 2. Who are you taking at 3?
Lamar.
All right, look at that. Standing by his word. That's good.
Yeah. I mean,
all right, that's our last question.
What I was saying about how they could go 101 is just because the range of outcomes for all of them overlap to where any one of them could finish QB1.
So, okay.
That's the end of our show. That's the end of our show.
The trade record for Allen is so good, and then Mahomes has the next best track record, and then the floor and ceiling of Lamar and Kyler are so high because of rushing. I like Herbert. He's a really good QB. He doesn't rush as much as the other guys. You know, he rushes similar to Mahomes. Mahomes is a better passing track record. So it's just that out of all those guys, you know, I care more about rushing than I do passing because it's easier to predict rushing. That's about it. Really, my rushing on there. I still think Herbert's a really good quarterback. So no slight. What do you say, Russ?
Nothing. Keep going, man.
What do you say?
Like, are we done? Can I wrap up now? Is it okay? And then you just kept going.
Yeah, I actually have another paragraph I wrote. Yeah.
Oh, please, by all means. I got all night.
Nah, you're good. No, you can get me out of here if you want me to. You know,
seriously, I've been trying to get ready for the past half hour and you haven't been picking up on it. Just kidding. But I am ready for bed. So before we head out of here, Akash, thank you. Hope you had some fun. Hope you had a good time. Why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, where they could find what you do?
Yeah, I'm Akash. You can find me on Twitter, YZR_fantasy. Drop me a follow for Dynasty Fantasy Football. And if you want to know the other litany of places that I for content, go back to the beginning of the episode. I'm not saying all
right. Our junk, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. We talked about it all during the show, but also very soon, once we get our new fancy backgrounds made, thank you, Maddie, we are going to, Rocky and I, start making some trade reviews. Like, we go over the Trade Addicts trades here. We'll do it for your leagues, and we will be however nice or mean you want us to be, because we don't get to curse on here, but I sure as well do it for the your videos if you want me to. Also, ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. T-shirts, stickers, mugs, all your favorite Dab Network shows and beyond. We still have some SFB 11 stuff coming out there. Hopefully SFB 12 stuff starts soon. We don't have word yet, so it's not like we're holding them back or anything, but hopefully. But anything purchased on that shop, every penny that comes in will go to Fantasy Cares. It all gets straight donated. Zero comes back at it whatsoever. So get some cool stuff for you. Get some cool stuff for kids for the holidays, and everybody wins. And winning is just the most important thing, right? Scoring points. That's what matters. No.
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. A member of the DLF family of podcasts. And a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans,
that is the best.
See ya.